Good evening. Welcome to Next Level Church. My name is Rob. I'm the lead pastor at Next Level. And I just want to give a quick kind of disclaimer. This weekend, a cold caught me. And so I have a head cold right now. And I tell you that just because there may come a point in this sermon where stuff comes spewing out of my face. And I came prepared. I have tissues up here. If this is your first time, this is not normal at all. This is not a gag. This is true life. It's for your own good and your protection. I also have this water up here. And again, just show me a little grace. If at some point I start choking up, it's not because I'm crying. It's because I'm literally choking up. So that's what this is for. But I also tell you that because I want you to know that even though I have a cold, I'm not going to let that stop me from giving you 100%. I promise you that I'm going to give my all. I'm going to preach with passion. I'm going to give you everything that I have. But if I'm going to give you everything that I have, even though I'm sick, I need you to do something for me. I need you to give me everything that you have. Specifically, what I mean by that is I need you to have your brain remind your face that I can see you. Okay? Have your brain remind your face that I can see you. That means that while I'm preaching, I can actually see your facial expression. So if I say something even remotely funny, would you just smile? It won't hurt you. Okay? Just smile a little bit. If I say something that you like or you're engaging with, you can nod your head a little bit. You can get into this. If they're saying something that you're thinking about and it's thought provoking, it's okay to have a like deep thought. I just don't want the, okay? I get that sometimes and I just want you, just have your brain remind your face that I can see you. If you do that, give me your all. I promise I'll give you my all and we'll have a good time. Well, 2013 was an amazing year for our world, not just America, but for our world. And as we wrap up 2013, I don't know if you guys like to do this, but when we get to the end of a year, I like to go to Google and look at the highlights that the year brought, because a lot of the things I just forgot happened. And so I spent some time on Google this week looking at some of the highlights from 2013. And it brought to memory some things that I had almost forgotten about. Things like this past February, there was a meteor that exploded in Mother Russia. Anyone remember that? Raise your hand if you remember that. A meteor exploded in Mother Russia. It was incredible. And I remember waking up in February and getting on my smartphone first thing in the morning and seeing all these tweets and Facebook posts about this meteor. And everything looked like it was a movie. It didn't look like real life, but it really did happen. And I was really interested in that because in a few months from February, I was going with a team from Next Level Church to Mother Russia. And I didn't know if we were going to like Armageddon or the end of the world, but I was checking up on this story. That was a big deal in 2013. Some other things that happened in 2013. This past March, we got a new pope. And I don't really understand how they elect a pope. I don't know if they vote on it, if he's born into it. I don't really understand the whole pope thing. But Pope Francis made a lot of news. He was Time Magazine's Person of the Year. He's done a lot of stuff that's got a lot of praise. He's made a lot of people mad as well, but he is making some noise. He definitely was a huge part of 2013. 2013 is also going to be the year that is remembered for the fact that everybody and their mom made a silly video called The Harlem Shake. Now, I don't know if you were a part of this, and I'm not going to judge you if you were, but it, from my perspective, literally everybody made a Harlem Shake video. If you don't remember what it is, if you didn't see it, you're lucky because I brought a clip. This is The Harlem Shake. Check this out. Con los terroristas. That was madness. That was absolute madness, and that was a big part of 2013. 2013 was also the year that the word twerk became a part of our vocabulary. I don't even know how to say it. I don't know if it's twerk or twerking or twerked. I don't really know. And I don't have a picture to show you because nothing good ever came from twerking. But that was something that entered into pop culture. Everyone was talking about the twerk. Twerking. I don't even know. I don't know anything about twerking. Never done it. Never seen it. Don't want to. Also in 2013, though, it's going to be remembered for the prince. I think he's a prince of England, William, maybe. Him and his wife had a baby. Anyone? Katie Middleton? I don't know why we cared about this, but this was all over the news. It was all over People magazine. Everyone's last I checked, we like rebelled against England. I don't know why Americans cared so much about this thing, but this was a huge deal in 2013. Everyone was all up into their baby business. Another thing that really seemed to dominate social media in 2013 was a discussion about Obamacare. That seemed to be something that a lot of people had opinions about. In fact, it really took me a long time to find an image that was appropriate for church when talking about Obamacare. I don't know if you know this, but people have really strong opinions about Obamacare. And this image, I actually had to stare at it for a long time because I wanted to make sure it was safe for everyone, whether you're in support of Obamacare or you're against. I wanted to make sure it was safe because some of the images on there, they looked safe, but then you stared at them and they were quite offensive. So I think we're still safe with this image. I think so. But Obamacare was a big deal of 2013. Another thing 2013 will be remembered for is actually not a fun thing. It was the tragedy that happened at the Boston Marathon. And this was one of those moments where you just don't forget where you were at. You don't forget just kind of the effect it had on you. And I don't watch the news, but I found myself watching the news for hours as this whole story was unfolding. And 2013 will be a year where we remember that tragedy. And tonight, though, I want us to spend some time looking at 2013 and not just our culture, not just pop culture, not just America, not just the world, but looking back at what God has done through Next Level Church in 2013. And something that I've been saying for about 3 years is that I want to be a part of something that I can't explain away. I want to be a part of a miracle of biblical proportions. And what I mean by that is that I want to be a part of something that I can't take credit for. I want to be a part of something that is so big that no one could say, oh, yep, that's because of Rob, or that's because of hard work, even though we work hard, or that's because of a lot of effort. I want to be a part of something that just screams God has broke through to humanity and done something amazing. And at Next Level in 2013, there were lots of miracles. There were some things that God did that literally we can't take credit for. And so tonight is going to be a little bit different. If this is your first time with us, I want you to know we're going to dive into some scripture, and I think there's going to be something for you as well. If you don't give a rip about Next Level Church, I think you're going to still enjoy this. But for those of you that Next Level is your church, I want us to spend some time looking back and seeing what God has done. You may also notice that the service is a little bit different because of all the candles and the acoustic set. Our band is not here, and that's actually intentional. This is the second time. We're only a year and a half old. But this is our second service to end a year, and I hope to start a tradition where we actually scale back every last Sunday of the year, and we go acoustic. And the reason I love that is because the way our church started was with a set that was very similar to this. I don't know if you were there or not, but we had an interest meeting a year and a half ago to just see if anyone wanted to help us start a church. And we had 96 people show up, and we did worship that night, which was an acoustic set like this, led by our worship pastor, Stephen, and by Brooke. And it was one of the most amazing worship experiences of my life. And so I love to end each year with the way that we started as a church. And so if you didn't like this, I'll pray for your soul. But if you did not like this, come back next week, and our band will be back, and you'll see it. But this was a very intentional thing because I want us to end each year the way that we started as a church. So tonight we're going to dive into looking at a passage, and throughout the passage we're going to reflect on some of the things that God has done this year, and I want to give you a little bit of context about the verse that we're going to read. We're going to read from an author by the name of John, and it's in his book entitled 1 John, and John is an incredible guy. The reason he's incredible to us is because he was one of Jesus's best friends. Jesus had 12 disciples, 12 guys that left everything to follow him. And John was one of those, but he wasn't just one of the 12. Jesus had an inner circle where he actually pulled guys aside. And there were times when Jesus needed to meet with people and wanted to do special like things. And he would invite these three guys that were part of the 12 with him. And John was one of them. So when John talks to us, it's under the authority of he actually spent a lot of time with Jesus. Now, John, if you've never read 1 John, I would challenge you to kick off your new year by reading 1 John. It is a great book. It is easy to understand, and it is very challenging. And so in 1 John, he has this to say for us. Dear friends, I want to stop there just for a second if we can. I love the fact that John starts off this section by simply saying, dear friends. And I don't think that he said dear friends is just a cute way to start something. I think he said it because he really did care about the people that he was writing to. And I think this is significant for us because I think as a church, this should be a way that we address each other. Dear friends. I think our culture, in fact, is starving for someone to say to them, dear friends. We live in a culture that is in what I like to call crowded loneliness. We are surrounded by people. We have Facebook friends, we have Twitter followers, we have neighbors, we have coworkers, we have lots of people around us, but we don't know very many people, and very many people do not know us. We are in crowded loneliness. There are not that many people that can actually say, yep, I've got a great friend. I've got someone that would be there for me. There's not that many people that could say, dear friend. And I think the church, the local church, should be a place that when anyone comes in, no matter their background, no matter their race, no matter if they grew up in church or not, when they come, they should be addressed as, hey, this is a place where you can be known as dear friend. Last week, I ran into a guy that I've known since he was in middle school, and he's now grown up and he's out of college, and I've kept up with him because he has become an online celebrity. And it's a little fascinating to watch. I don't know, any of you ever heard of the app or like the website Vine? Anyone ever heard of Vine? Okay, a few of you. Well, he has become literally a Vine celebrity. He has over 80,000 followers on Vine. He has become such a big deal that the TV show The Walking Dead actually tweets to him and asks him to make videos for them. And they're always like retweeting him and reposting his stuff. And he literally will go places and people will recognize him simply from his Vine app, or I don't even know what Vine is. I don't do Vine, but I follow him on Twitter and on Facebook because he has these crazy adventures all through social media. And because I don't see him very much, when I actually saw him in person, I had to ask him about a couple stories that he posted online. And one of those stories was months ago, he was in New York for work, and he only had a few hours, but he's a huge comic book nerd, and so he wanted to go to New York's Comic-Con, a comic book convention. And so he shows up without a ticket, and he's standing outside, and he's hoping that he's going to run into someone that will sell him a ticket so he can get in. And he's standing there, and no one is selling tickets. It's completely sold out. It is like the hottest ticket in New York for that weekend. And he's like, I guess I'm not going to get in. And this guy that is dressed as the Riddler, you know, the bad guy from Batman, walks up to him. Did I get an amen? That was incredible. Thank you for that. A guy dressed up like the Riddler walks up to him and asks him his story, and he tells him, I'm only here for a few hours. I really want to get into Comic-Con. I was hoping I could get a ticket. It's sold out. And the Riddler reaches into his tights and pulls out a ticket and gives him a ticket and says, go enjoy it. I thought that was incredible. So he went in to this Comic-Con, didn't pay anything, and while he was there, he was experiencing all the stuff that happens in a Comic-Con. I don't know. I've never been. But one of the things that he heard, they made an announcement that Zachary Levi, who is the star of a TV show that's no longer on, called Chuck. Anyone watch Chuck? Yeah. Chuck was one of my favorite TV shows. I love Chuck. The announcement was that Zachary Levi was going to be making an appearance, and you could meet him and get an autograph. And my friend loved Chuck, loved it. And so he rushed to this line, but by the time he got there, the line was wrapped all around the whole convention. So there was no way he was going to be able to meet Zachary Levi. And so he was getting ready to leave because his train ticket was coming up quickly. He had to get out of there. And he thought, I'll just walk up to the person in the front of the line and just tell him my story. And so he walks up, and there was an Irish guy standing in the front of the line. And he says, hey, I'm not trying to con you. I'm not trying to get anything out of you. I got a ticket from the Riddler. He let me in here. And I really want to meet Zachary Levi. But here's my train ticket. And he showed him the train ticket, and he said, I've got to leave in just a few minutes to get on this train. And the guy says, hey, why don't you cut in front of me? Stand here and get to meet Zachary Levi. So he meets Zachary Levi. He posts all these pictures on Instagram and on Twitter. And I hear this, and I'm like, dude, that is amazing. Comic book convention people are incredibly friendly. They are nice. And then I follow that up with saying, why can't the church be more like Comic-Con? Which is not a statement that we should be saying. I just want to throw that out there. But you don't hear those kind of stories coming out of the church, do you? You don't hear stories where people are putting other people first. Where someone's looking at someone they don't know and say, hey, I don't know you, but I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to change your day. I'm going to give you a story that you can tell people about. And I think as the church, we should be the type of place where we are building relationships, we are creating memories, we are putting other people first, where we are addressing one another as dear friend. Before we started Next Level Church, there were multiple people that are a part of our church that said to me that they had zero best friends. And I ask people this a lot. I just want to know who people are connected with. And so I'll just say, hey, who are you close with? Who do you live life with? Who's your best friend? And two people particularly said, I don't have a best friend. I don't have anyone that I would call late at night. I have zero people. They told me that before Next Level started. And now in 2013, both of those people would say that they have a best friend because God has brought them together through what he's doing at Next Level Church. And now they can look at each other and say, dear friend. And I think for us as a church, that should be something that we're known for. No matter what someone's background is, no matter what hurt or pain or beliefs they have, when they come here, they know, hey, this is a place where you're going to find dear friends. So John starts off this section by saying, dear friends. Let's look at what he says next. He says, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. So John says, he basically drops a bomb on us. And the bomb that he is just dropping is that God is love. It is his essence. It is his being. He doesn't know anything but love. God is love. And you may have known some version of love sometime out there, but if you don't know God, you don't know true love because God is love. And then he flips it on us. And he says, hey, have you ever wondered if you really were a follower of God? Like, have you ever sat there in bed and just said, hey, am I really doing this thing? Am I really a Christian? And John says, here's your answer. If you really want to know if you followed God, if you're a Christian, if you're doing this thing called Christianity, then you can tell because you will become a person of God. You cannot help but know God and then love other people. It's what happens. You get to know God, you start to love. The two are connected. The more you get to know God, the more you love other people. But we need to talk about this word love just a little bit because I think every single one of us gets to experience love in some degree. In fact, I think that God is so good, he let all people experience love. But we're so messed up and so jacked up that so oftentimes we pervert love. And so often the love that we give or the love that we receive is simply based off something that someone else can do for us. If someone is nice to us, then we feel loved, and then we're nice to them, and we return love. If someone gives us something, we feel, oh, they love me, and so I'm going to give them something. If someone can benefit you, then you say, oh, yeah, I want to get to know them because they might can help me out, and so I'm going to show them love. But very few of us reach out to someone and say, you don't benefit me at all. You bring no meaning or significance to my life. You will not give me anything, but I'm going to love you as you are. John says that God is love. And if you've ever got to know God, you know that you bring absolutely nothing to the table. God doesn't like break out of heaven and say, man, you got some talent that I need. I'm going to love you. Oh, you got some money. Oh, snap. I love you. Man, you got some influence. Man, you got some talents. You're a good looking dude. I'm going to show some love to you. God doesn't need anything from us. And he doesn't love us based off how good we are or our accomplishments. He loves us because he is love. And John says, hey, if you've ever got to know God, then you start giving that out to other people. You start loving people, not because they can benefit you, not because they're going to make you like better or make you more money or give you accomplishments or give you gifts or because they're like you. No, 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 no. You're going to love people simply because God is love. So I want to make sure that we understand that because when you say God is love, people think about all sorts of different things. But God is love. He is a perfect love, and he loves us despite the fact that we bring nothing to the table. I think that another thing that we need to make sure that we point out about God being love is that doesn't mean that everything in life is going to be rainbows and unicorns and that everything is okay. In fact, if you've ever got to know God, then you know that He often says to you, hey, I love you just as you are, but I love you too much to keep you that way. And I don't know how you would describe your relationship with God, but I find myself often describing my relationship with God with the simple phrase that God's love is haunting. And when I say haunting, I don't mean like a ghost, boo, and like scaring me. I mean like this thing that I can't shake. And it's like in my life, when I've turned my back on God and ran the opposite way, he is haunting me. He won't leave me alone. He keeps pursuing me and saying, hey, you can't run far enough away from me. And God keeps telling me, hey, guess what? I know you messed up. I know you screwed up. I know you have doubts, but you can't shake me. I love you. Not a future version of you. Not a better version of you. I love you as you are. And there's so many times where I have doubts, where I have questions, where I turn my back on God, where I deliberately sin, and God haunts me. He breaks through and says, dude, I love you. Thank you. You're invited back every single week. Thanks for starting that clap. God loves us. He loves you. He doesn't just love me because I'm a preacher. He loves you. This is the type of love that God gives. And so God loves you just as you are, but he is often pushing you to saying, hey, I love you. You don't have to change, but when you get to know me, you're going to change. You're going to become more like me. You're going to experience true love. You're going to experience love without selfishness. And in return, then, you give that to others. So in 2013, we as a church have tried to embrace the love of God, and because we've experienced God's love, we want to go out there and show it to others. And so we've done that through something that we call Make a Difference. Make a Difference is our monthly commitment to try to make a difference in the community or the world. And if you're new to Next Level Church, then I want to make sure you hear this. Our Make a Difference is the tip of the iceberg. It is not our final mission strategy. It is the bare minimum. For us, Make a Difference is just the chance to say, God has blessed us, God loves us, we just want to do something. So if we get so busy with ourselves and we get so busy with doing church services, at least we can look back and say, hey, we attempted to do it to make a difference through this. But I want you to know that this isn't all we do as a church. In fact, every single person that's in a Next Level group commits to make a difference as a group. So each semester, we have multiple groups that are trying to go out into the community, out in the world, and make a difference. And I hope you, as an individual, are making a difference on a regular basis. I hope you're not saying, hey, because they do make a difference at church, I don't have to serve my community or make a difference in the world. No, this is the bare minimum. But as a church, we've committed that every month, we're going to try to make a difference by partnering with a local or global organization. And I want to highlight the ways that we made a difference in 2013. In January, we partnered with an organization called Souls for Souls. And if you weren't here for that, Souls for Souls is a great organization. Souls is talking about the soul, the human spirit, for souls, which is shoes. And their idea is to have people donate new and gently used shoes to provide for kids so that then they can go and share the gospel with kids that literally are dying because they're walking on unpaved roads and they don't have shoes. And so we heard about this and we said, man, that's crazy that in 2013 there are kids that are not just walking without shoes, they're getting infections and then dying because they don't have a single pair of shoes. So we want to do something about it. And so we held a barefoot night, and many people came to church with no shoes on, barefoot. It stunk. It was amazing. But also a lot of people wore shoes to church and then took their shoes off and donated them and went home barefoot so they could experience what thousands of kids experience on a regular basis. And so we collected as a church 237 pairs of shoes. 237 pairs of shoes. Which equaled 14 boxes of shoes. And I told you at the beginning that I wanted to be a part of something that you can't explain, something that's a miracle. And so I want to explain to you why this is a miracle. In January of this year, as a church, we were averaging 128 people. If you take out kids, because we count kids, we have about 28 to 30 kids. So we're talking about less than 100 adults. And at Next Level, we count pregnant people twice because we think that baby is a life. And so you take out a few more, we're down to about 80, 90 adults. 80, 90 adults brought in 237 pairs of shoes, not a single shoe, 237 pairs of shoes to make a difference. That's like crazy. That's how we started off the year. And we went into February, though, And we were trying to raise awareness about AIDS and the virus HIV. And this was a very different make a difference for us, because this wasn't one about raising money or going out in the community and doing something. This was simply about raising awareness. We were informed that every hour, 30 kids die of AIDS. Every hour. And there's an organization that said, hey, we're trying to cure AIDS. We're trying to spread awareness. If you would just post this online quilt on Facebook, it would help us out. And I don't know about you, but if my kid was dying from AIDS, I would want someone to do something. So we said, hey, we're going to do it. We're going to partner. We're going to put all over Facebook, all over social media, this quilt to raise awareness, because we hate the fact that kids are born in this world with AIDS and that they're dying left and right. In March, we partnered with PORT, which is a very unique local organization. I don't understand it completely, but I think that it is a government-funded organization that uses the church, which I don't quite get the separation of church and state, but that's how they work, as far as I know. Specifically, what PORT does is PORT creates homeless shelters in Newport News through local churches. By partnering with them, I discovered that Newport News has zero homeless shelters. Zero. So in the winter months, they don't have a place where they can call home, where they can stay at all. They don't have a place where they can get a warm meal. Zero in Newport News. Not only that, there is a huge percentage of homeless in our area that are kids. Kids who thankfully get to go to school for free and have a warm place to go to school, and they get a free meal, but then at dinner time they have nothing and they're laying on the streets. And so PORT has come out and they turn churches into homeless shelters. And it's run by volunteers. It's run by church volunteers. And we heard this. They actually called us and said, we need help. And so we helped them in March. We volunteered our time for 24 hours. We turned this place into a homeless shelter and provided warm food and a place to stay. And I personally thought this was such an incredible event. It's not just something that we did in 2013. We're going to do it in 2014 of March of this year. So if you're interested in making a huge difference, stay tuned for that. In April, we celebrated our one-year birthday. And I wanted to do something different. I had this idea that for our birthday, we should give away a gift. Instead of just getting a gift, we should just give away something. And the idea specifically was that we should raise money in our first building campaign. Now, this was crazy because no church in their first year raises money for a building campaign. It doesn't make sense. People don't do that. But specifically, this was crazy, and I think this was a God idea, because our vision was to raise money for a building that the vast majority of us would never step foot in. We heard about a pastor in Haiti who, after a hurricane, had 100 kids show up at his church because their parents died in the storm. And he turned his church into an orphanage. And he thought he was there to be a church planter, but now he just turned things around and said, I got to do this. I need help. And we learned that for $8,000, we could build an orphanage for these kids. And this was a scary number. That is a big number for a church our size to raise. But we said, we got to try to do it. And so the month of April, we collected money and tried to raise $8,000, but we did not raise $8,000. We raised $12,000. That is a miracle for a church our size, but if you want to be a part of a biblical miracle, listen to this next part, because this literally was the closest thing I've ever been to the miracle of Jesus multiplying fish and loaves. In that month, we started seeing this money come in, and I started to get a little worried, because I was just thinking, if people are giving so radically to this campaign to build an orphanage, they're not going to be able to give to our church. And we do need money to run a church. We have to pay our staff, we have to pay insurance, we have to rent this building. And so I was just thinking, you know, I don't know where this money's going to come from. We're trusting God that somehow you're going to provide. And in the month of April, in raising $12,000, our giving actually went up as a church. That's mind-blowing. That is, I don't know where it came from. It hasn't happened since, but it was like a miracle. God was literally multiplying money and providing in ways, and it was like, man, that's what I'm talking about, God. We can't take credit for that. That's a God thing. In May, we focused on praying and supporting our first mission team that went to Mother Russia. I like to call it Mother Russia. Now, this trip was really important, and it was kind of significant for me. Number one, because I got to go on the trip, but it was also really cool because Jesus' brother, James, he says in his letter to the church that true religion is this, to take care of the widow and the orphan. And in America, we have a foster care system. So unless you're in the foster care system or adopting kids, you don't have a chance to really help the orphan. But we could fly to Russia and actually go to orphanages and be around kids and share the love of God with them and invest in them and make a difference. And this trip was filled with miracles. Number one, we went to Mother Russia and nothing bad happened to us. That was a miracle. The KGB left us alone. No meteors exploded while we were there. But it was also a miracle because each person on this team had to raise $3,500. And before we left, every single person raised the funds to go. But there were more miracles a part of this trip. The organization that we went through let us know that getting a passport and a visa for Americans to go into Russia is not an easy thing. I don't know why, but they don't really like us Americans. And so they're very reluctant to give passports and visas. And they told us that we wouldn't get our passports and visas back until a day or two before the trip. So we had booked our flights, we'd paid all this money, and we were just waiting for the passports and visas. And the day before the trip, we get all of our passports and visas except for one. And it was for a single girl that was 22 years old. And when I asked them, well, what are we supposed to do? They said, oh, it may or may not come at some point. And whenever it comes, she can just get on a plane and meet you guys in Moscow. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to send a 22-year-old single girl to fly to Moscow by herself. Have you seen the movie Taken? I was freaked out. And so we started praying, like desperately praying on our knees. God, we don't know what you're doing, but you got to provide. And literally about 2 hours before we left, they delivered the visa and the passport to our leader's house, and she was able to go with us. It was a crazy, awesome miracle. In June, we made a difference by learning about and then praying for the persecuted church. If you weren't here for June, something you need to know is that America is incredibly blessed. We have a thing called freedom of religion. And it may feel like in our country that the press and media is against Christianity, but the truth of the matter is we're free to meet here tonight, and not a single one of us are worried about going to jail or getting killed. But in June, we simply raised awareness and then prayed for those that are all around the world and are being persecuted. And we learned that there are thousands of people that do not meet in a church, that are too afraid to advertise. They do not say, hey, come to our church. They meet in underground churches, and they meet in basements, and they meet in caves, and they're hiding all out because if their government finds out they're Christian, they will either get thrown in prison or they will die. And we learned about Christians and pastors who are being tortured in prisons right now simply for being a Christian, and we said, hey, how can we make a difference? And they said, you can pray. And so we prayed specifically for him. In July, we heard about a church planter in D.C. that was trying to make a difference in the inner city, and he wanted to plant a church. And they had a very hard time reaching and like actually breaking through. And they said, we need to meet a need. And so they heard that tons of kids in inner city D.C. didn't have the money to provide backpacks or school supplies. And they said, help. We're just a few people trying to plant this church. Can anyone help us? And we heard about it. We said, yep, we can help you. Even though we'll never meet these kids, even though we don't have a fat clue who you are, we're going to get you your backpacks and your school supplies. And so we did. And we provided a boatload of backpacks and school supplies so that they could give them to the needy and then share the gospel with them. Stop clapping. You're still welcome back next week. But in August, we made and donated student survival kits for CNU. One of our staff members had this idea that to reach out to CNU. CNU is located only 2 miles away from here. And we feel like college is a great time for people to form their worldviews and to figure out what they believe. And we wanted to reach out to CNU and say, hey, we're here. We're trying to make a difference. We want to help you in your spiritual journey. The problem is we had zero CNU students. Last year, literally, we had zero CNU students. This year, we had one going to CNU. So it was a start. It was a big improvement. But we said, we want to go out there and literally try to reach college students. And so we went to this fair that they had, and we set up a table, and we gave away these survival kits. that had a DVD on how to survive college and not be in a debt. It had ramen noodles. It had a zip drive. It had a paperclip. It had all sorts of Pop-Tarts, all sorts of things that college students need. And we simply went there and said, hey, we just want to get to know you. And from that one event, we went from having one CNU student to most weeks having 10 to 15 CNU students simply because we said, hey, we want to show you the love of God. In September, we kicked off a campaign called I Love the 757. And if you weren't here for that, the idea was that if you're a Christian, you are called to love the place that you're at. And even if you hate the 757, as a Christian, you are called to bring heaven to earth. And so we came up with 50 random acts of kindness for us to do all over the 757. And I don't know about you if you were a part of this, but I'm still trying to do these things that were on this list. Because there's a lot of junk in the 757, including one of those things on the list was to put away shopping carts that lazy, no good people leave all over the parking lot of Food Lion. I still love them. God bless you if you're here. But I'm putting away your carts every time I see them. Picking up trash. It was just simply making a difference. It was trying to make the 757 better than the way that we found it for the love of God. In October, we partnered with an organization called the Teddy Bear Brigade, which takes gently used or brand new teddy bears and gives them to kids who have come from war-torn areas or natural disasters and simply says, here's a teddy bear, and then shares the gospel with them. And they found that kids who are have been through a tragedy find so much comfort in having a teddy bear that they can hug. And so we provided a ton of teddy bears and shipped them off so that we could make a difference in some kids' lives. In November, we did something that I thought was really cool. We've partnered with a school system called Jenkins. And it's been our goal. Someone from our church has said, hey, there's a school that has a lot of needs. And this year, would you partner with them? And whenever they have a need, you can help them out. And so we have people from our church that go there and tutor them on a weekly basis. We have people who are trying to make a difference with teachers. We have people who deliver meals. There are tons of kids that literally don't have meals at night. And so once a week, we have people that bring meals. And we're trying to do whatever we can to make a difference. And Jenkins let us know that there were 20 families that go to their school that couldn't have a Thanksgiving meal. And so we collected all the food for that, but then we didn't stop there. You guys actually hand-delivered it to the families. And this was my favorite Make a Difference of the year because of stories that you told. You weren't satisfied with just dropping off food and saying, there you go. You actually got to know the people. And many of you went above and beyond and said, hey, here's a meal. Oh, you don't have a winter coat? Let me buy you a winter coat. Here, let me pray with you. There were so many awesome stories of people actually making a difference in these families' lives that are in our backyard. In December, we partnered with a mission organization to raise funds for missionaries all around the world. Now, this is significant because missionaries don't get paid a salary. They have to raise their own support. And so they count on local churches and organizations to raise their funds. And so we said, for 1 week, we're going to give every cent that comes into our church, we're going to give it away to missionaries. If you're here for the 60-second update, you heard that the total was $5,800, but more of you gave online, and so our actual total is $6,650 in a one-time offering that's going to missions. I think that's pretty cool. So John, in our verse, he says, hey, if you want to know if someone is a Christian, look at their life. Are they loving people? Because God is love. He builds on that idea. Let's look at what he says. He says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Ultimately, John says, if you really want to know what love is, look no further than God. Because God sent his son to die for you. And not because you were a good person, not because he was impressed with you, just because he loves you. He gave up his son for you. That's incredible. And then he flips it. And he says, okay, now that we know that about God's love, I want to bring this to your attention. Did you know that no one has ever seen God? No one can draw a caricature of him. No one knows what God looks like. But you want to put hands and feet on God? Here's what you do. You love each other well. And when you love each other well, people start to say, oh my God! And you love people well. You love not based on how you want to be loved. You love based on the way that you have been loved by God. And then you make a difference in the world. One of my all-time favorite quotes is from Pastor J.D. Greer. He says, "As you've been to me, so I will be to others." John's challenge for us tonight as a church is, hey, if you've experienced God's love, you got to give God's love. If you've experienced His forgiveness, if you understand that He loves you despite the fact that you're imperfect, you better start loving imperfect people. As you've been to me, so I will be to others. Now, we've spent some time celebrating the cool things that God's done, and I hope that you hear this is not to give us a pat on the back or to say that we're awesome. In fact, we're not really awesome. We're a church that is filled with imperfect people. We're a church that's filled with misfits and people that question God. We're filled with people that don't have all the answers. We're filled with people that doubt a lot. We're filled with people that, despite the fact we have nothing to offer to God, for some reason God keeps using us to make a difference. And so I want you to hear, if this is your first time at Next Level, this is not a perfect church. We've got issues. And we're not trying to be perfect. We're just trying to return the love that we've received from God. So that was our chance to look back at 2013. Oh, I almost forgot. I do want to highlight this because God did something really, really cool. We were able to see God move and work in a lot of people's lives. And this year we saw 7 people get baptized, which I think was really cool. But if there could be one picture that just shined and just showed what 2013 has been for us through God's love, it would be this one picture of my friend Jim Williams after his baptism. It's going to come up on the screens for you. Jim was a guy who had given up on church, but God had reached out and shown him great love. And now he's making a huge difference at Next Level Church. So that's 2013. And before we leave, I want to go over some goals for 2014. Because I'm not satisfied with just saying, yay, God did something in 2013. I want us to look forward to 2014. And a lot of you are making goals and thinking of things you want to do for 2014. So as a church, we have a few goals, some things that I want us to look forward to. And our first goal that I want us to look forward to is to get a space of our own in 2014. This is a God thing because we are not at a place to raise money to get a building of our own. We can't afford it, and I don't believe that we should go into millions of dollars of debt to get a building of our own. So we are trusting that God is going to provide it. When we get this building, I want you to hear this, it will be a God thing. We will say to everyone, this is a miracle that we cannot explain. We should not have a building of our own, and I'm hoping and praying, and I hope that you'll pray too, that God's going to deliver a building. The reason this is important to us is because in our culture in America, Sunday mornings is the church time for people to go to. And I get messages on literally almost a weekly basis from people saying, I love what God's doing in your church. I just can't get my family there on Sunday nights. If you would just move to Sunday morning, we would be a part of this. And I just want to help people fall in love with Jesus. And if He'll use Sunday mornings, I'm praying He's going to give us a building. And I hope you'll pray that too. Our second goal is to average 200 people in attendance. I am not a big numbers guy. I want you to hear that. I've never set a number. I've never had a dream or a vision that one day we're going to be a church that reaches 20,000 people. I don't care about those numbers. I want to be happy and content with whoever God brings here. But this number 200 is really important because when I first started the church, I went to a church planning conference, and at the conference they said that if a church does not reach 200 people in its first 5 years, it will never get 200 people. And then at the conference, they went on to say that in 5 years, if a church does not reach 200 people, the church planner will be burnt out and will quit. And in 10 years, the people that helped start the church will burn out and will quit. And the church will no longer exist after 10 years. And the reason is because less than 200 people means the same people are doing everything every single week. There's no margin of error. There's no multiple services to pull people from. It is the same people giving, the same people volunteering. And so you need new people. You need to reach new people. You need the excitement of helping new people find Jesus. And so that number 200 is an important number for us. And so whether or not we move to Sunday mornings, it's a goal of mine that we as a church would reach people to get over 200 by year two. Year two's coming in April. And I hope that God would use it. I hope that God would use you so that we could say, man, we don't know where all these people came from, but God's using us to make a difference. Our third and final goal is to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference. Every few months, someone will send me an email or ask me, where is Next Level Church going? And if that's one of you, I want to say thank you for asking me that, because that sharpens me. It helps me try to figure things out. But I'm very confused by that question. Because in my mind, our vision statement has been the same since day one. And if you want to know where we're going to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference. That's what we're trying to do in 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. Specifically, I don't know if you know this or not, but there are thousands of people in our area that aren't passionately in love with Jesus. So until we do that, we don't need another goal or another mission or another vision. That's it. Love Jesus and help other people love Jesus. We want people to fall madly in love with Jesus, not the church, Jesus. And until everybody I know and everyone I see in the 757 is madly in love with Jesus, we got our work cut out for us. Because here's what I believe. When you love Jesus, you can't help but start to love people. And when you love people, you can't help but make a difference. And that's why that's our mission. And I would love it if you would continue to partner with us in 2014. If you'd help a little church plant do miracles. A little church plant make a difference. A little church plant love, because we've been first loved by God. Would you pray with me? God, thanks for this day. Thank you for a chance just to reflect on the good that you've done. And God, I just ask that you would stir our hearts, God, not to make much about ourselves, but to make much about you. I pray, God, that if there's anyone that is just doubting your goodness, God, that you would break through, that you would hold them, that you would show them that you do love them. And you don't love them for what they bring to the table. You love them because they're your child. God, we commit 2014 to you. We ask that you would give us immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. That you would pour out your spirit on us and on your church. And that we could make a difference because you've made a difference in us. In Jesus' name, amen.